This is a church family type of message, kind of an add-on to last Sunday. I'm just going to chat with you now this morning. I want to ask us a question this morning about who we are. Who are we as a church? You know, who is New Hope? And by the way, if you haven't had a chance, Jocelyn's back with us from California. Make sure you get a chance to say hello to her. And we're so glad to have you home, Jocelyn. We consider this to be your home, not that place where you grew up. Philippians chapter number 2, I'll get to in just a second. In just a couple of hours, we're going to baptize. Right now, it looks like about 13 or 14 people, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Don't get to see that very often in a lot of churches, but it's not just about those people being baptized today. It's about all of us. You see, when you're baptized and when you become kind of a part of a church, what it's about is we're tying ourselves to one another. Do you feel tied to one another? Amen. See, there's a difference between being a part of a church and being a part of a family. Amen. The one thing that I hear repeatedly about New Hope, and we're not the only church, please understand, we're not the only church, we're not the only good church. But I will say this, the one thing that I hear repeatedly is that this church feels more like family than any place most people have ever been. Amen. And that's good. Yes. It should be that way. Yes. And it should be that way for everybody, by the way. And so we, but we're saying that we're when we say we're family, we're saying that we're going to love together, we're going to serve together, we're going to weep together. You know, Keith, we're weeping with you today. Yes, I want you to know that. We're hurting along with you today. But we also rejoice together. Amen. When we're rejoicing with the Osbournes, we're rejoicing with the Tonys and all those other things. But the question then is, for what purpose? Why are we together? Why is there even a church here? Why is this particular church here? And I want to talk with you about Paul in his letter to the Philippians was writing. And in Philippians chapter number 2, he writes this to the church to help them sort of define what they're supposed to be all about. He said, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Now, that doesn't mean brainwashing, by the way. That doesn't mean we're a cult. We're going to find out whose mind it is we're supposed to have here in just a couple of verses. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Just let these words sort of sink in here. You know, that means we're supposed to be, as you're sitting in a pew or as I'm looking out across this room, we are supposed to esteem or consider one another to be better than ourselves. That's not talking about in terms of quality, but in terms of, it means I want you to be happy before I'm happy. I want your needs to be met before my needs are met. Boy, I'm looking around this room and there are some of you carrying a huge burden right now, but you don't let anybody know it. And they would never know it because you're carrying their burden. You're encouraging them when you're going to go home and you're the one going to need encouragement. I believe God will give that to you as you give it to others. But esteem other better than themselves. In verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now that doesn't mean you're looking at somebody else's car and wishing you had that. What it means is I'm looking at the stuff. I'm looking at the issues of your life. I'm looking at the hurts in your life. You're looking at the hurts in my life. And not just on our own. It's so easy when we're hurting. It's so easy when we're attacked. It's so easy when we're struggling to be concerned about other people. But he said, that's what you need to do. In verse 5, here's the mind we're supposed to have. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, this mind then, you know, is what we're after. What is Jesus' thought? What is Jesus, bless you. I think that was a sneeze. That the rapture was taking place, and I thought, I'm still here. The trumpet just sounded. What was I talking about? That's okay. You know, it's Jesus' idea. Here's what we want to know: what Jesus thinks the church ought to be. Yes. What is Jesus' idea? What the church ought to be? We can have our ideas about what the church ought to be, but what does Jesus want the church to be? And this morning, I'm going to be real plain, and I'm going to use some very plain speech, even in my title. I'm going to ask us this morning, what kind of a church are we going to be? Are we going to be, and I've just titled this way, a prima donna? Are we going to be about a prima donna, or are we going to be about the prime directive? Now, for those of you who know the meaning of those things, A prima donna is an opera word, you know, and it means the lead lady singer who is supposed to be better than everybody else. A prima donna in our world has come to be known as somebody that really is mainly concerned about themselves. Now, please understand, I know you say, well, I already know which one of these we're going after, but we're going to find out there may be a little prima donna in all of us. If we're not careful, there could be a little prima donna in our church. Now, I'll explain that in a minute. That's somebody who's concerned about themselves and what their needs are. It's a philosophy. Or are we about the prime directive? That's a Star Trek term, I think. And that means what is that one philosophy, what is that one statement that governs everything we do? In other words, that one most important philosophy that's going to influence every other decision that happens in a ministry. It would be, for example, the mission statement maybe of a corporation. It would be like the Hippocratic Oath is to a doctor. It would be, you know, it would be the Declaration of Independence to the United States. Okay, that's what governs everything. Those ideals, that one statement that sort of encapsulates everything that we stand for, and it is what governs all the other decisions that we make. So what would Jesus' prime directive be? Well, we find that, first of all, in verse number 5, notice, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what was his mind about the church? We go to Matthew chapter number 28, in verse 19. You know it as the Great Commission. Here's what he said. Here's what Jesus wants the church to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. All right, so what is the church supposed to do? The church is supposed to go out and find the lost and teach them to observe all things. All right, so what is that? That means we preach, we try to win the lost, we baptize them. I'll just wait. I just keep talking like that's not really happening. It means we go out, we win the lost, we baptize them, and then we teach them to observe. That's what the church is supposed to do. The church has to decide, here's the philosophy, folks, New Hope, are we going to be about our needs right now, the current membership needs, or are we going to be focused on those that are not here yet? That makes a big difference to every decision that we make going forward in the future. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me, please, and let's pray and ask God to bless this time. Father, thank you for an opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I pray for these prayer requests that were turned in that I did not make mention publicly, but God, you know who they are, and so, Father, please do something very special in their lives. Lord, now take this time that we have for the preaching of your word. Make it be what you want it to be. Lord, I pray that you just speak now through me. May whatever comes out of my mouth be translated by the Holy Spirit into what we need to hear in our hearts. So please, we pray that you'd help us to know your mind today. We want the mind of Christ, and we want to do things the way that you want us to, Jesus. So please teach us and help us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. As we look at the future, one of these philosophies that I just mentioned will govern everything that we do. It's just going to help us to decide. We're either going to focus our energies and our resources on the things that are nice for us. We could, for example, we could focus our energy and our resources on things that would make us more comfortable right now, or we could focus our resources and our energies on things that will prepare the way for others who need to come to know Jesus Christ. And that really is a distinction that every church has to deal with. The fact of the matter, and look, and I'm not here to cast stones at any church. I'm not gonna. That is not the purpose here. Please understand. It is not our business what other churches do, right? It's our business what we do.
Right.
We don't. It doesn't matter what's happening down the street. Doesn't matter what philosophies are governing other churches. It matters what philosophies govern us. But I think you know my position on it. I think I know your position on it. But let's just use this time to clarify it, okay? We're either gonna follow Jesus' directive, or we're gonna focus on, and we're gonna be reaching this ministry as far and wide as we can. And so, let me just ask some questions here this morning, and they're sort of rhetorical questions. You don't really have to answer, but to help us define here. Number one, do we want a fancy building, or do we want to find the broken? Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, you know, I said, see, here's where the difficulty comes for us in the balance, because we're talking about how crowded we are. we need additional space. But there's a philosophy difference about what kind of space do we want. Look, I don't know about you. Can I just tell you right up front? I've had my fill for a lifetime of fancy buildings. I'm not interested in the least bit. Look, I'm not interested in the least bit in the fancy stuff. You know, more to keep track of. I would much rather get out into this world and find the broken. We have to begin to pray for God to lead us for how He wants us to move. But we're going to be tempted. As we look at the future, and we're going to be tempted. If we start talking about finding a new building, if we start talking about maybe or doing something different here, it's going to be tempting for us to start thinking about, well, but I'd like to have this, and I'd like to have this, and I'd like to have this. It is nothing wrong with us wanting to have some nice things, unless it comes at the expense of the broken out in this world who need Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus said over and over and over again not to be concerned about things on this earth. We have to be concerned about meeting the needs of people, but we need to be very careful that we are always focused on the prime directive, which is reaching the lost. So whatever kind of building we look to, whatever kind of music services we have, whatever kind of ministries we have, they need to be ministries reaching out to that. There is not a thing wrong with having bingo for the church body. But that is not going to change the world, and addictions ministry will.
Amen.
So where are we going to put our emphasis? You see what I mean? This is and so we've got to be careful about this philosophy. A prima donna just cares about what's going on with me right now. What I'm wearing and what I'm going to drive and what kind of chair I'm going to sit on. But a different philosophy is, no, we've got to be concerned about who we're trying to reach. Let me just, look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 again. Notice, he said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And what he was saying was, there's nothing wrong with us being concerned about ourselves. Look, we enjoy these chairs, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, we love these. Now, we could do a little bit of work to these chairs, but we paid $6 a piece for these chairs. And I think that was a good balance of trying to provide our needs, but not paying $50 a piece for chairs to where we wouldn't have money to put into the homeless ministry.
Right.
Yes? That's an illustration. That kind of a philosophy needs to be what takes us forward. Everything we think about, everything that we think about the kind of ministries. I take you back to 1981 in Orange County, California. There was the largest glass building in the world opened up called the Crystal Cathedral. The Crystal Cathedral. Now look at it. I'm not casting stones at them, no pun intended, glass house. But please understand that it had the largest pipe organ in the world. If you saw that on television, you saw a pastor who I'm sure was a better man than I am, but adorned in a long robe and the fancy things, and you look around that, but you also would see that practically everybody in that building, the men were all wearing suits and ties, expensive ones, and the ladies were all wearing dresses and had big hats. I'm not casting stones. Look, there was probably a wonderful day long ago where people used to put on their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. But it's not necessarily that way anymore. And I'm not saying that was wrong and this is right. But what I am saying is this. That building, as large as it was, that ministry had to declare bankruptcy in 2013, and that building's been sold. Now, I'm not saying that they got off track, but what I am saying is that there must have been an emphasis maybe perhaps on that building instead of on the people that needed to be coming to that building. I don't want to ever make that kind of a mistake. You know, building shouldn't be the focus. You know what a building is? A building's a tool. A building is a tool to use to reach people. Chairs are tools to reach people. A piano is a tool to reach people. You know, beautiful. We have wonderful first-class graphics and media here, do we not?
Yes.
But I love the fact that we can have first-class presentation materials but not try to be a first-class section church. Because we're not trying to worship a building. We're not trying to worship things. We need to worship God, but we need to be accommodating for the people. That's the philosophy difference. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. Look, are we not grateful for this beautiful piano? And does it not just sing when Kaylin plays it? And by the way, there are others of you who can play that, and you're not, and you're wrong. period. If you can play, if you can sing, if you can do, if you have some talents and you're not using them, Jesus said you're sticking your talents under a bushel. You're hiding them. You're hiding your light under a bushel. Well, there's some discussion going on around here. It's like, good. You play the guitar and you don't? Well, I wish you would. You play an instrument and you don't? I wish you would. That wasn't part of the message. Crystal Cathedral. Listen, they're to be used for. Look, you know why we love this building? Because it fits us. It fits us. It's about reclaiming what once was considered to be useless and turning it into something for God's glory.
Amen.
This is a stable. The animals used to live in here. And well, the animals still live in here. It used to be a place where they kept the animals. You know, and it was a liquor store at one time.
Yep. Oh, that's right.
No, that's right. Oh, Sue. Sue said, oh, yeah, it sure was. Amen. I love this church. See, this is what church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be an honest place. Amen? You know, we're going to try to find a balance here, folks, in this ministry. This ministry must stay focused on people, especially broken people. You know, I talked about the Crystal Cathedral. I don't want to have to be worrying about wiping smudges off the glass of the Crystal Cathedral. Not when I could be outside seeing who's standing outside hurting. See, that's what we need to be doing. That's where we ought to be. Can I just get real practical for a minute? How many homeless people do you think would have felt comfortable in the Crystal Cathedral? I don't know about you. I don't think I'd have felt comfortable there. Listen, you know, how many of the broken do you think would have felt comfortable walking in there? You know, please understand, I feel like I'm being negative about that. I'm not blaming that. It's not my place to judge anybody. But I'm just saying, you know, if somebody who's broken and doesn't have any money and doesn't have anything that they don't feel like to offer, to walk into something so fancy and so where the focus is obviously on what it looks like, they're not going to feel like they can walk in there. I am so glad that there isn't anybody who doesn't think they can walk in here. And anything we do in the future needs to have that philosophy be the absolute core of everything that we do. You know, we are the Southwest Airlines of churches, are we not? And that's just how it needs to be. So these are the philosophies that need to govern what we do. You know, let me move on. You know, now at the same time, though, we do need to have our focus on the needs of people. So the balance side of that then is, you know, we need to have a clean building. We need people to step up and do a little bit more about helping keep this building clean. Well, that went flat. You know, we need to have a safe place. You know, we need to have we need to be careful. We need to make sure that this is a safe place. And by safe, what I mean is we need to make sure our children are safe. We need to make sure our babies are safe. Look, a young mother needs to be able to drop her baby off in a nursery and see that it's clean and that it's done first class, that her baby's going to be safe, so that she can come out and sit and enjoy a service. That takes people and that takes facilities in order to make that happen. But that is an important part. That is focusing on the people coming in, not worrying about, look, we're not gonna recreate Magic Mountain inside of a church for our kids, but we do need to have some space for them, do we not? Safe and clean and build a ministry where they're going to come and hear what's really, really important which is Jesus Christ. All right, so we the fundamental question then that we're talking about this morning, prima donna or prime directive? Number two, let me say, do we want to feed souls or do we want to feel good about ourselves? Feed souls or feel good about ourselves? Take a look at verse number 3 of our text. Let's go back. Notice, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. See, this is that philosophy. This is that attitude we're talking about. Esteem other better than themselves. This is not a false modesty, by the way. This is genuinely what the mind of Christ was. Now, what did he mean by that? Did Jesus think that we were better quality people than he was when he died on the cross? Of course not. But what he did say was, he said, it's more important to get what you need than what I want. The most important thing to Jesus Christ was your soul. Amen. And my soul. And he said, so there's nothing about me, there's no price too high that I'm not willing to pay in order to have your soul be saved forever. And that's how we need to feel about the world, folks. We need to feel, listen, I preached a message a while back. You know, we understand there's a verse that says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Remember that Jesus taught? And we can't give anything for our souls, can we? You can't earn it. Listen, if you're here today and you think you can earn your way to heaven, you are in for a huge disappointment. You cannot do that. You don't have to do that. But the question is, what would we give for someone else's soul? And giving of ourselves and giving of our time and giving of our money in order for other people to hear the gospel, have a place where people can come and feel comfortable hearing the gospel. That's what we can give in exchange for their souls. Do we want to feed souls, though, or do we want to feel good about ourselves? He said, He said, church at Philippi, you need to esteem these people out there as better than yourselves. Make their needs more important than yours. You know, just as an example, how many people's lives are changed by a steeple? Is a steeple nice? Sure it is. On the outside, stained glass windows, beautiful on the outside. But I'll tell you what, having an addictions ministry inside that building that's reaching to the heart of people's problems, that will change lives. Yes. Yes. Having a children's program where children come to trust Christ as their Savior at an early age, grow up loving God, and grow up realizing how enjoyable. Did it not thrill you to have these young people up here singing?
Yes.
Man, that is so wonderful to see that. To see 20-somethings that love Jesus and want to sing about him?
Amen.
I know you do. And that thrills me, because it's getting tougher in this world to find young people that even know who Jesus is. Matt Rankin said it well the other night. It sold out. He was talking a little bit, and he said it very, very well. He said, you know, 20 years ago, his son is now a junior high school student, and he was even talking to me before the service about this. His son's now a junior high school student, and he's watching these kids coming out of the junior high, and he said, man, he said, I just cannot believe what I'm seeing. And he's not being judgmental, but the point he was making was, 20 years ago, if you wanted to try to talk to a junior high school student, they would at least know who Jesus was. If you mentioned a few books of the Bible, they would know what those books of the Bible were. If you talked about Jonah or Noah or you know, one of these Bible characters, they would at least know something about, they would get the gist of it anyway. You'd have something to start with. But there are children growing up today that don't know anything. They've never heard one Bible verse in their lives. They've never sung Jesus Loves Me. They couldn't tell you what the first book of the Bible was or what any of the books of the Bible are. You know why? Because churches have spent the last 20 years fighting about stupid stuff.
Amen.
Churches have been spending the last 20 years fighting about which version of the Bible to use, or what kind of music to listen to, or what kind of worship service we ought to have, or what we ought to, you know, what we can do. Can we go to the movie theater or not? You know, we've gotten so worried about all these stupid things, all these little side issues, and while we were fighting among ourselves, worrying about all those dumb things, a generation grew up and doesn't know anything about Jesus Christ. And they're starving for truth. Like, they won't tell you that. Teenagers won't tell you that they're starving for truth, but they are. They are. They're looking for something to hold on to. They're looking for an anchor in a very, very uncertain world. And New Hope, we are failing our teenagers. I'm just telling you. Now, please don't think they're wrong. Every church has its part. Every church is trying to do its part. We're trying to do the best we can here. But there have got to be some people that rise up and say, you know what, we are failing our teenagers, and I want to do something about that. I can't do all that. I can't do all that, folks. I would love to. I want to reconnect with our teenagers, but I can't do it all. Besides, I'm 50 and they need somebody a little younger. But until they get that, they just get the cool people. See, listen, folks, we have got to start thinking about the groups in this world that are not being reached. There's a whole group of young people, I've talked to you about this, and there's a whole group of young people that are so confused about their sexual identity. They're confused about what's right, what's wrong, what's in between, and what is this and what is that. There is so much confusion in this world, and there needs to be a place where real issues are talked in a real way by real people. Amen. With a real love for souls. Amen. Their souls need fed. Their souls need fed. And we have to decide, do we want to feed souls or do we want to feel good about ourselves? Listen, we can feel good about ourselves by only having people here that by only bringing in, let's just call them trophies of grace. God's not interested in trophies, folks. We could parade. We could put suits and ties on our teenagers. We could put suits and ties on our children and demand that they act just the way we want them to act and do all these things. We could parade them up in front of everybody and say, look at what the great job we're doing, what we're doing. Or we could talk about real issues in real life. You know, what should I be preaching? Would you like for me to just preach things that make us feel good? Would you like for me just to preach about how great life is? Or would you like for me to preach the truth? And let's face it, life on this earth is not that great. You know, I've said this before. And I'm not throwing stones at Joel Osteen, but bless your heart, I don't want my best life now. I want my best life in heaven. Best life now means I'm going to go after what I want right now. That's a prima donna kind of an attitude. I don't want my best life here. I want my best life there. Yes, right. Amen. But I do want to better the lives of people who have a terrible life right here. Well, I just about said something I shouldn't have. Look, there's people, their lives are horrible. And I'd like for them to have a better life. Yes, amen. And if that means that I don't get my best life here, I'm fine with that. Because I've got a good life. No, don't you think that everybody ought to have a good life before some of us who are a little bit selfish have a great life? Are we going to have that philosophy? Are we going to give like we believe that? Are we going to pray like we believe that? Are we going to serve like we believe that? When people come in here and they come in and they don't know anybody, are we going to hang out with our own little circles, or are we going to on purpose go and welcome them and talk to them and love them and get to know who they are? Because there's treasure in that field, folks. But we're going to have to expand ourselves a little bit. And start having the philosophy, look, it doesn't matter. Look, there's nothing. I love the fellowship. Please understand, I love the fellowship. And we're going to continue to do that. We love being together, don't we?
Yes.
We're going to have a wonderful time. I cannot wait for this afternoon. I'll just stop preaching now. I can't wait for this afternoon. But fellowshipping just with each other is for a short time to encourage us to get out and do the real work. And the real work isn't with the people who are already saved and who are already doing okay and already have somebody loving them. It's for the people who are lost and who are broken and who are addicted and who are divorced and who are abused and who are struggling, who are depressed, and who are suicidal. That's where the field really is. Prima donna or prime directive? I think you get the idea. What if Jesus had, let me just skip, you remember the prime directive was go into all the world, preach the gospel. What if Jesus had one royal law? Can I show you something I just saw this week? Look at James chapter number 2, please. Notice this. I've never seen these two words before together. I've never noticed this phrase. If ye fulfill the royal law. Now think about that a minute. The royal law. Does that sound important to you? Why have I never seen that before? I mean, I've heard of the golden rule. You know, I've never noticed the royal law, but apparently God has a royal law. According to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, if you do that, you do well. Verse 9, here he clarifies, but if ye have respect to persons. Now, that be careful about the wording there. If you're not, you know, if you've got a different version, this is the King James. It says, respect to persons. That doesn't mean we don't respect people. Everybody deserves respect. Amen. That means if you choose one person over another. That means you like this person better than that person. You have more respect for this person than that person. In fact, he went on to say later on, he said, if a rich man comes into your congregation wearing really nice clothing, and you say, hey, come and sit in this great seat, and you say, and then a poor person comes in wearing rags, and you say, well, you need to go back there. He said, you are wrong. Amen. You don't know anything about Jesus Christ. And by the way, can I just go on the record as saying, because I had this issue at addictions ministry that I used to run. If somebody comes in here dressed a way that you don't think that they should, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Shut up. Amen. Just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. There's a right way to deal with that, but it's certainly not from a Pharisee. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person behind you. You know that. You know, listen. But that's what he said. He said, look. Okay, so what did he say? If you have respect to persons, ye commit sin. Somebody mad at me right now. Boycotting church. Because they have a neighbor who, and I'm going to tell you this and I'm done. They have a neighbor that has tried to commit suicide. And this person says he wants to reach that person. But he will not go sit down with that person and talk with him while that person is drinking a beer. And I said, sir, how do you think you're ever going to reach somebody unless you build a relationship with that person? Right. Well, that's just against my convictions. Well, my convictions are Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Go ye into all the world. You realize to go into the world, you actually have to go into the world? Yes. I know. God's got these crazy ideas. You know, Jesus met us right where we were. Aren't you glad that wherever it was Jesus found you, aren't you glad that he came to where you were? Yes. What if he had said, well, when you get yourself out of that mess, then I'll come find you. He would have never found us. He would have never found us. Prima donna, prime directive, royal law. What's going to be our philosophy going forward? I think we're all in agreement. I think we all get that. But I think we've got to start then thinking in terms of what does that look like in real life? What does that look like on Sunday morning at 9:50? When people are beginning to come here? What does it mean when somebody walks through the door and they're uncomfortable? You know, what does it mean when we see somebody outside smoking a cigarette, trying to get their nervous, they're anxious, they're struggling, and we say, well, you know, I'm just gonna go on about my business. We must begin to think about the future of our church and every decision we make in terms of the people that we're trying to reach and design everything that we do as a way to make it a welcoming place so that they can learn who Jesus is. Because after all, there aren't any changes going to be made in any of us unless Jesus does it. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you.